Research District Board of Directors, please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Copy Open Meetings Act is posted on the back wall of the meeting room. Prior to turning to the agenda for today's meeting, I'd like to announce the procedure to be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson report with their proposals and recommendations, and the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussions and action, and I will allow a three-minute time limit for testimony from the public. With that, quorum call, please.
Medley?
Here.
Bonnet?
Here.
Bradley?
Here.
Conley?
Here.
Davidson?
Here.
Fowler?
Here.
Rask?
Here.
McCormick?
Here.
Sikinski?
Here.
Siebert?
Here.
Chairperson?
Here. Item four, motion to drop the agenda.
So moved.
So moved by...
Is that Bradley
and
yep.
Bonnet? Roll call.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sikinski?
Yes.
Beasley?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Item five is a motion to adopt the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sikinski?
Yes.
Keezer?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
And Chairperson? Yes. I have here proof of publication and the various World Herald, et cetera, for notification of this meeting. Move on to item eight. Agency reports, item 8A, Natural Resource Conservation Report. Andy Bonenkamp, is he here yet?
Yes, he is.
Oh, welcome, Andy. It's been a while.
Yeah, Andy Bonenkamp, District Conservationist with the Natural Resource Conservation Service. Good to see you. Good to be in person. I just make a quick introduction of myself for those that don't know me. Been the district conservationist here for about a year and a half. Prior to that, I've been with Nebraska NRCS for about 18 years, most all of it here in this NRD. So I'm just going to kind of touch on some conservation program updates and then go through a little bit of staffing updates and then be available for any questions. Our CRP sign-up for the general and continuous CRP program is about wrapped up. We've got roughly 51 continuous CRP applications within the NRD, and we've got about 40 general CRP applications. In comparison to last year, we had about 148 CRP contracts, so we're considerably down in applications right now, which I would attribute it to a couple of things. One, commodity prices are pretty high. Cash rent's pretty high. The CRP program is kind of a tough sell. However, the one thing I've probably noticed the most here in the last 18 months is our doors have been locked. So for producers to come in, our general way that we promote things as they come into the office, we have a conversation with them, and that conversation is just not happening. So we need to get our doors open. That's kind of my hope, is that in the future we get that going so that we can start to have conversations with producers and really start to promote the program and the benefits of it. So that's what has kind of been going on with CRP, and the same is true for EQIP. We've gone through quite a few applications this year. We approved quite a bit. However, we're not seeing another additional interest in the EQIP program as of yet. So our application rate is just not what we're used to. We're used to seeing people come in and sign up quite a bit. So once again, my hope is that we get back to business like normal and can do a little bit better there. But for now, everything seems to be a little bit low as far as program interest. In terms of staffing, if you remember in past reports, I've written about the direct hire program through NRCS relative to soil conservationists in the state. We are done with that advertisement, and I interviewed three individuals for the Tecama field office position, and I did select someone. Currently waiting for HR to make the final approval on that, and then I can come out with an official word with who I selected for Tecama. So that fills one spot that I have. Walt Hill is still an office that I've only got one NRCS employee currently there. And so I have a couple vacancies there. The resource conservationist position is vacant. We had a direct hire position available there, but we just didn't get adequate or qualified candidates. So in light of the direct hire situation, we've managed to hire just about every position within the eastern half of Nebraska, which is a great thing. So what that's going to do is allow some of the positions that we have currently in the eastern half of the state to maybe look at transferring some individuals or doing a duty station transfer. I'm trying to work an agreement out to do that in Walt Hill so that I can fill my RC position there and then bring that office up to being fully staffed. So that's my goal. I got to wait until the selectees for the direct hire positions get placed, and then hopefully within the next couple weeks to a month, I can kind of ramp that process up so that I can get the Walt Hill field office fully staffed. So that is my update for NRCS. So if you got any questions, feel free.
Any comments, questions? Oh, well, welcome back. Good to see you again. Dr. Bradley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had a question, and when you said the CRP applications are low.
Sure.
Did you get any sense that with this influx of all of a sudden this opposition to the 30-30 plan, had anything to do with it? Or getting any feel for that? Or
no. At least in where I guess where I sit in terms of who I've worked with producers, I haven't that hasn't come up in conversation. But I haven't asked my employees if that's part of it. CRP has got some pretty tight rules, and so when an individual signs up, they've got to go through some eligibility, and sometimes that hangs up quite a few applications. So there's some interest, but you know, still we're probably not seeing quite the interest, but I can't say that it's attributed to 30 by 30.
Okay, and is there funding available, or is the deadline...
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The acres, they increase the acres for continuous sign-up. And so, yeah, there's funding available, certainly.
Okay. Yep. Thank you, Andy.
Yep.
Any other questions? Thank you, Andy.
Yep.
Hope to see you again.
Yeah. Be back.
Item 9B or 8B, NARD, Director of Institution.
No report.
No report. C, legislative report, catalyst. Tim here?
I can just give a brief. I don't think Tim's here. So I didn't see him up there. We're setting up meetings with state senators. That's starting in Vane here toward the end of August. I did attend the legislative summit today at the SAC Museum, ran into a number of state senators there, as well as I got to personally talk to each member of the congressional delegation one-on-one. So it was good attending that event. So we will circle back with all the senators and kind of explain what we've been doing and obviously answer any questions that they might have. So that's what I have.
We're up on number nine there, General Manager Winkler, public input on the budget.
Okay, and we discussed this Tuesday, so I won't go through, again, all the details, but I will kind of remind some of the important highlights of this year's budget. I did put on your table the breakdown of property taxes in the city of Omaha, and all everyone that I talked to, including some state senators, if you look at metro area transit, they levy more property taxes. Our good friends there levy more property taxes than the NRD. And so even if, with our proposal, if we drop 3.5% from our mill levy, that will even be a bigger spread. So I didn't think, I was surprised that they, in fact, levy taxes, but they do. Again, we are requesting a 3.5% increase in our property tax take. We are anticipating anywhere from a 6.8 to 7% valuation increase. So we will reduce our mill levy probably anywhere from 3 to 3.5%. And so far, I think that's the best one that's been offered. So we're leading the race to cut our mill levy. Again, 16 out of 17 years, levies stayed the same or lower. 10 years lower, 6 years the same. Also, just another point, I missed this on Tuesday. The Papio NRD or any NRD in the state has not received 1 cent of COVID relief money. So some of our other peer organizations, city, county, state, anywhere from tens of millions to hundreds of millions of dollars in COVID, federal COVID money that has very little restrictions. So they're spending it as they see, not saying that they don't have the need, but the NRDs have not received one penny of that. And so some of the budget decisions that are made, you know, it's kind of easy when you're sitting on $900 million in other funds to make budget decisions. So, unfortunately, the NRDs are not part of that. And so I think it's even more exceptional that this board could contemplate dropping the mill levy 3.5%. And again, one of the reasons is that LB 408, although it didn't pass, we had conversations, we had negotiations with the sponsors and the introducers of that bill. And although it didn't pass, I thought it was prudent and I thought it was wise to stick to the general outlines of that bill, which this budget does. And so I think it's important to go to those state senators, which if this passes, we will, and say, the local boards can control this, and the local boards can make these decisions. We don't need legislation to dictate property taxes. Now, this will obviously get more and more difficult as inflation reaches, 5.4% in July, and as we continue to get higher inflation rates, obviously keeping your budget to the 3.5%, 4% is going to be increasingly difficult. So now it's time for the public to open up, and Jim, you have control of that.
All right. Comments from general public, please step up, say your name and address.
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. I did type up copies of my testimony or my input for those who will enjoy reading it. You know, I understand where the comments are that there's no increase in the mill levy, but there is a $1.4 million in the actual taxes being collected, which is a 5% in the actual taxes. I mean, this organization needs to pay attention to the taxes collected, not necessarily the mill levy, because that's what's affecting our pocketbooks. I think there's some two key areas where there can be multiple savings in this budget. The one I went into a little more detail in my written testimony, but as a CPA, I've gone through this. I understand budgeting. I've done government auditing, so I do understand what's out there. But the big thing I see is all of the numbers budgeted for engineering costs. There's close to $4.6 million, and it's coded under professional fees. It's account 4,400. Last year, it was over-budgeted $2.2 million. The year before, it was over-budgeted $1.5 million. That's $3.7 million of property taxes that did not need to be collected during those two fiscal years. So, you know, just looking at those professional fees, engineering fees, you know, sweep a 10 5%, 20% reduction in those, and you're getting yourself back down to a zero increase in the mill levy and a zero increase in the valuations. The other area that I've noticed, and I don't know if you have it available to pull up, but if you go to page 35 of the budget, the watershed reserve, there's $5.4 million of extra dollars in this budget to set up a cash reserve for this. So not only are you over budgeting $5.4 million, I understand here in a couple agenda items that you're going to vote on issuing $30 million in bonds. So just those two areas, if you guys would just take the time and address them, you could bring the taxes down to prior year's numbers and lower the mill levy. Kind of on a housekeeping side note, the staff may want to review the budget because it appears that the wages that are allocated out of the general ledger or general and administrative expenses do not agree to the salaries that are being reported throughout the rest of the report in the specific funds. So by doing that, the budget is higher than it should be by those dollars. I included a copy of that for the staff to review. And if anybody has any questions, you know, or comments, I'd love to entertain them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. Doug Kagan, 416 South 130th Street, representing Nebraska Taxpayers for Freedom. Our main criticism of your budget is like our past major criticisms, that this NRD over-appropriates funds for projects that do not utilize all or most of the funding, then carries over the unspent funds to the next fiscal year, at which time you again over-appropriate revenues. This budgeting maneuver, we believe, gives the NRD an excuse to keep the property tax rate artificially high. A prime example, the recreation account spent only 47% of its allotted appropriations, yet its fiscal year 2022 budget scheduled to increase by almost $1 million. The property tax levy would drop only by 2.4%, yet property tax revenue scheduled to rise by 5.4%, so the NRD should have lowered the levy more. This budget sets the overall area valuation increase at 3.5%, although most other taxing authorities in this metropolitan area set it from 4.7% to 5.5%, which would increase your revenue. $28 million cash on hand is an amount we believe far higher than necessary. This budget again departs from a basic NRD mission objective. The NRD is accepting applications for funding for a dog park and bicycle venture, not germane to the NRD primary purpose of flood control. So a few budget suggestions. Several entries require fuller explanation, such as this $42,500 in lieu feed study on page 30. Budget entries regarding improvement should be more specific. You can look at page 17. We urge you to utilize accrual accounting so that only expenditures certain to become accomplished in the fiscal year listed in the budget. Currently, the budget's inflated and property tax is artificially high because stated appropriations not spent during that fiscal year. Director travel expenses doubled to $30,000, so curtail travel and eliminate several organization dues and memberships. Staff travel and expenses will climb from $13,000 some to $30,000, so send fewer employees to out-state and out-of-state functions. Use Zoom. Require employees to pay an additional amount for their health insurance and pensions as these costs continue to increase. Hire permanent professionals so that the NRD will not have to pay outside sources so often and so much for professional services. And finally, eliminate service awards and leave paid out, which would increase from $33,000 some to $135,000 in this budget. Thank you.
Any other public comments? I can't tell if anyone's walking up or not, but I'll ask one more time.
We have somebody coming.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Mark Westergaard. I'm with the NA Consulting Group, 10909 Mill Valley Road. Here kind of on behalf of the company, but kind of on behalf of a lot of landowners and developers who are just lending to support the $30 million in bonds that have been presented and approved in the subcommittee. A lot of these folks were here last night, or excuse me, on Tuesday for the committee meeting, so I'm just saying we're very supportive of that to protect the land rights for very important dam sites in the future, and we are supportive and behind that that bond issue. Thank you.
Okay. A little premature on that, but we'll get to it.
I didn't see anybody else.
No one else? Any other comments for the budget? Okay, moving on to 10 subcommittee reports. Programs, Project Operations, Director Fred Conley.
Mr. Chairman, be it resolved that the minutes of the August 10, 2021 meeting of the Program, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee are accepted and incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. 10A1, presentation on integrated management plan and report. This was a representative, this was a presentation item. No action was taken by the subcommittee. 10A2, Missouri River Levy R616 and R613 Improvement District. Ground construction contract change order number 10. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to approve change order number 10 with Ground Construction Inc. in the amount of $1,026,701.88 for the Missouri River R613 and R616 Federal Levy Systems Improvement Project, bringing the total construction contract price to $26,193,094.33, and I so move.
Any public comments on that item? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapensky?
Yes.
Weezer?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Chamberson?
Yes.
Item 10A3, Elk Creek Channel Stabilization EWP Project Bids. Recommendation that the general manager be authorized to execute a contract with Lieber Construction, Inc. in the amount not to exceed $1,060,267.88 for the construction of Elk Creek Channel Stabilization EWP project, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. And I so move.
Any public comments? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapensky?
Yes.
Caesar?
Yes.
Bradley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Chairperson?
Yes.
That completes my report.
Thank you. Item 10B, Finance Expenditure Legal, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved, the minutes of the August 10th, 2021 meeting of the FDL Subcommittee are hereby accepted and incorporated into these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. One, issuance of flood control and water quality enhancement bonds. Recommendation that the following resolution be adopted. And General Manager Winkler, I trust you'll be serving a buffet while I'm reading the next 22 pages.
You should just point to the board.
Oh, okay, I'll point to the board instead. Look at your packet, gentlemen, and I move adoption of the bonding issue.
Second.
Thank you. A public comment, additional public comments, but we'll take now public comments on the bonding. We'll, no other comments? Staff, any comments?
One question. And
directors, any comments? Director Jett.
Thank you. When would this be issued if this passes today? When would you?
Please identify yourself.
Paul Grieger with D.A. Davidson. We have a draft timeline, I believe, in the attachment, and we'll be working at the direction of management to complete some tasks. As it sits now, with the work that needs to get done, we're working with Tyler Mullen of Ferret Holm on a preliminary offering document. It's my expectation that we would be in position to sell bonds probably no earlier than mid-late September. We have to have a conference meeting with Standard & Poor's to affirm the current bond rating. So that would be about as quickly as we would move. We don't have to move that quickly, but our plan was to get to work get the work done right away, so that we'll be in position to lock down these interest rates before they start to creep. But that doesn't mean we need to go that quickly. We just need to get ourselves ready to go, and then we'll move it the district's direction.
Okay. And your estimation with interest rates would be somewhere between 2 and 3%?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I think last time I reported at or below 3%, we were here on Tuesday, and I kind of thought those rates had come down a little bit. So mid-2s, I feel comfortable stating.
All right. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you.
Good. Any other director comments? With that, roll call.
Salwood?
Yes.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Deezer?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Jefferson?
Yes.
That is my report.
We can mention that again, but we always had to already had the hearing. Just important dates on the budget for next.
Page 29 of the resolutions.
Number two.
FY22 budget, draft 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Item 2, FY22 budget, recommendation of the FY2022 budget be forwarded to the review at the September 9th, 2021 budget hearing, with the provision that the GM be authorized to make necessary adjustments once final figures are available to achieve compliance of state statutes and regulations regarding the LID, and I so move.
All right, I'll ask once again for any public input.
Sean Malotz, 10404 North 132nd Street. I would like to know when the bonding piece of that's going to be added to the budget will occur, and how will those costs be absorbed into the parts of the budget? Because I'm assuming you're going to issue them and then you're going to allocate them.
So the debt service page that was handed out, so once we know the interest rate of the debt service, so we'll put that in the September budget as far as the first year payment, which will only be interest. And then what we will do is we'll find it somewhere in the budget to reduce projects and programs. So our commitment to the 3.5% increase will remain regardless of the bonds pass or not. So we will still stick to that 3.5%. That's our commitment, and we will find cuts in the budget to make up for the payment. So
on the revenue side, will you book that? I would assume into the revenue, and then the cost of the $30 million.
Yeah, according to state law, your revenues and expenditures have to balance. So you book it into revenue, and then you will book it out as expense. So those will all be added into the budget in September.
Where will the $30,000 expense go? Is what I'm trying to ask.
$30,000
or $30 million?
It'll go into debt service.
The $30 million.
It'll go into the watershed fund.
Correct. That's where it's going to go. So there'll be a reserve in the watershed fund.
That'll be
$35 million now.
The reserve, yes, correct.
Okay, because you're not going to allocate them to specific projects. You're just going to let them go into the reserve.
They'll be allocated. Yes, we do have specific allocations, and they were outlined in
resolution.
I saw that, but they're not. Those numbers in the resolution aren't. Don't make up $30 million.
They'll be broken
specific.
Out. They'll be broken out into the large, into projects.
The various projects, and that's where they will remain.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other comments? Roll call.
Jeff?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Sapinski?
Yes.
Teasley?
Yes.
Bailey?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Yes.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Beckley? Yes.
Yes.
Now my report is complete.
Now you're done. We'll move to item C. PLPA Director Richard Sapinski, you're up.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Be it resolved that the minutes of the August 10th, 2021 meeting of the Personnel, Legislative, and Public Affairs Subcommittee are accepted. Incorporated in these minutes and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Item 10C1, Papio, Missouri River Natural Resources District Resolution on Executive Order 14008, otherwise known as the 30 by 30 Plan. Recommendation that the following resolution be adopted. Resolution by the Papio, Missouri River Natural Resources District Board of Directors. The resolution is on the board, and I so move.
Public comments. Any, is someone coming up?
Yes.
All right. You state your name and address. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Camden Cavan, 4440 Hillside Street, Lincoln, Nebraska, 68506. I'm appearing tonight on behalf of GC Resolve, an Omaha-based company that works with farmers across Nebraska on regenerative agriculture development. I'm here to voice our concerns over this resolution and how it could negatively impact future conservation efforts at the local, at the state and local levels. Why would our NRDs consider a preemptive resolution that could stunt federal funding aimed at preserving Nebraska's top resources, our water and our land? The principles outlined in the preliminary report are not new to Nebraskans, and rather a refocus and enhancement of current local and federal conservation efforts. The notion that this is a prelude to some kind of land grab is a political farce that only serves a widening partisan divide. This, what is in this preliminary report outlines a pathway for local and federal collaboration, which would lead to funding. Land and water conservation, like I said, are two biggest resources. Enhancement of local conservation efforts, funding. Honor tribal sovereignty, conservation restoration leads to jobs. Honor private property rights through voluntary stewardship. What is not in this preliminary report are mandatory conservation efforts, a plan to circumvent local authority or control, forced possession of land by the federal government, nor a requirement for federal approval of local or state soil and water conservation regulations or projects. Given our recent experiences with extreme weather events, especially in this political subdivision recently, it would be a mistake to preemptively oppose the plan and the funding that would come with it. Nebraskan farmers would benefit greatly from this kind of program that aims to keep the next generation on the land and producing efficiently. The programming is geared towards reversing the trend of dangerous levels of nitrates infiltrating our drinking water. This is something we need to support for the sake of those in my generation and the generations after mine. At this time, we urge the board to table or modify this resolution until the preliminary report is read and understood and further details are made clear as to what programs would be administered. Thank you for your time. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Thank you.
And I also have a letter here signed on by GC Resolve, Nebraska's Community United, Nebraska Interfaith Power and Light, Nebraskans for Peace, Nebraska Sierra Club, Solar Heat and Electric Incorporated, and Translucent Technology. If I'll hand these to you, I got 15 copies.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for time.
Next. State your name and address.
My name is Bill Armbrust. I live at 8606 North 216th Street, Elkhorn, Nebraska, where I farm and raise cattle. I'm glad to follow that gentleman. He saved me a lot of breath. As a farmer, deeply involved in agriculture and in ag policy, I urge you guys, from my perspective, to follow facts rather than assumptions or imaginations in having any resolution come out of this group. I feel like this is probably partisan related rather than fact related. I've only heard what I've heard, and I've heard none of the things that I hear being put out there as being fears for this group or for the governor specifically. I heard the USDA Secretary Vilsack address a lot of the concerns that are being asked about in this resolution, and I would urge you guys to let this just slide until you have more information. Perhaps what you're talking about and the fears that are being presented here are true, but we have no idea that that's the facts now. Perhaps down the road when we get the 50 or 80 or 5,000 pages that will come with the program, then we can all look at it. We can look at it again and decide what we need to do. But at this point, I see no reason for this group to vote anything but no. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comments? None? Staff, any additional comments? Directors, any comments? Director Bradley.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll just want to, make for the record that I oppose this.
Could you remove your mask and talk in the microphone thing?
Well, sure. Might as well. That I oppose this particular resolution introduced by Director Teaser. And for myriad of reasons, but certainly I don't think it's, for this board to dip their toe in the political waters that they're asking us to do. And I sort of took time to read what was handed out in the preliminary report for the 3030 plan, Conserving and Restoring America the Beautiful. For what I saw, it has a lot to do with climate. National Climate Task Force recommending a 10-year locally led campaign to conserve and restore the lands and waters upon which we all depend. I don't know if you folks were the board members was bombarded with emails and phone calls and texts, but along those lines, I belong to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, and in the Bugle, their particular publication, and Ducks Unlimited, their publication, and Pheasants Forever, their publication, they are, every issue, they're proud how they say where there was land donated by private landowners, all for conservation, all for, opening up more lands for hunting and fishing. And so in many of these organizations, I don't want to stereotype anybody, but some of them are pro-NRA and pro-gun and just, it's conservatives. And I also wonder, as they tweak this 30-30 plan, if they could use a lot of that property donated and add it in, so it's not just something where people think it's a federal takeover when it's not. I also thought of maybe when, I think it's Bill Gates, thousands of acres in Nebraska, and he takes them out of farming, if they could count that also towards, people that privately do those things. Just want to say that I don't think that people shouldn't think that it's Joe Biden is the boogeyman coming to take your property. That's not what it's about. But I think what's going on, to a certain extent, it's the free market and innovation that's coming down the pike. And if you haven't been seeing more and more electric vehicles around the world, is happening. The gas-powered vehicle is going to go the way of the horse and buggy. And when we see corn planted in every square inch of an acre, it's at some time it's not going to happen. And I don't want my fellow citizens of Nebraska to be caught where, caught in the middle of this. And bubbles burst and the land prices go down and they can't for the biofuel and the ethanol. I really implore the rest of the board really think about opposing this. And we've heard folks come against it. I haven't really heard anybody tonight, anyway, that is for it. And that's what I got to say. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
To object.
Thank you. Well, as someone who has a large percent of his own net worth tied up into land ownership, and as somebody who derives a large percentage of his personal family income from the money that that land produces, I'm really very skeptical of I'm very skeptical of 30 by 30, because actual farm owners and land owners who produce crops for their own families are all against. I've never talked to this gentleman that stood up tonight. The first person has told me he's a farmer who's for this. I'm very skeptical about this whole thing. 5,000 pages to come at some point. You know, I can't begin to support anything that we know almost nothing about. By and large, landowners are exceptionally good. They take very good care of their land. They want to pass it down to future generations. I don't think we need more government interference telling us how we should do things. I think we just want the quiet enjoyment of the land that we have, our own personal property. Again, I'm just very skeptical. Any government entity that comes along and tells us how to do things, I'm always a little bit skeptical of that. It's the same bunch that told us we could keep our doctor and it's 2 weeks to flatten the curve and get the COVID shot because you won't have COVID then and you won't have to wear a mask anymore. It's just, I don't believe it. That's my personal opinion. Thank you.
Mr. Teeter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Has anybody really read the proposal here? Let me read just paragraph 7. Whereas the FAPU NRD supports increased local, state, and federal funding for voluntary conservation programs for willing landowners and categorically rejects any state, local, or federal mandate that would negatively impact the current voluntary conservation system. Where are we saying that we're mandatorily, the NARD and this proposal is not saying that that is going to be a situation where mandatorily going to take property away. All we're saying is that we approve and we support voluntary conservation and the subject. I said that.
Any other comments?
I think this whole issue got started with the governor going throughout the state making comments about what the president had proposed, which was inaccurate. I don't think the federal government has ever indicated they're going to take people's property for conservation. I don't think that's ever was the issue with that. So I won't be supporting this because I don't think there's a need to do that. I think we already enjoy freedom in terms of what we do with our property. The president's not talking about taking it away and putting it to conservation. And if that whole issue with the governor going out through the state making inaccurate comments about what the president had proposed, this would have never even came up. What are the other NRDs? Are they all taking positions on with a resolution with regards to the 30-30 plan?
Some have not met yet to do so. I talked to Dean Edson this afternoon, and whether this is going to appear at the NARD annual meeting, and it will be voted up or down by the state directors. I was simply asked as the representative from the FAPIO to ask staff to formulate this resolution and ask that we buy onto it. I see nothing here that talks about that we're allowing, we're going to be sitting here and supporting the taking of private property. Director Japp, I can understand where you're coming from. I can see your fear for things that have happened in the past, but this is a mundane resolution. I'm just simply following the protocol of what I was asked to do by the NARD. The NARD representatives, no one objected to that, to the idea of asking the districts to submit a resolution. No district opposed it at the last meeting. So I am just following through with what I was asked to do.
All right. Any other comments? Director Bradley? Sorry, Brad.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Executive Order 1400 is vague. It's ambiguous. It's undefined. And I see it as a massive government overreach into our locally controlled operations. It is beyond comprehension how that president, our President Biden, could possibly conceive this plan as so arbitrary and as capricious as our attorneys sometimes say in court. It's arbitrary because if you just think about it, 30%, if 30% is so great, why not 35, 45, or 50%? Maybe 50% would be better. There's no cohesive explanation as to how he even arrived at 30% of water and 30% of land. And it's capricious in that you can't ask a state to set aside that land without also creating an enforcement mechanism to see to it that that gets done. So this is just a toe in the water to feel out the population of society to see if any people would back it. And if enough people do start to champion this 30 by 30 plan, then those 5 to 15,000 pages of additional regulations will follow on. I think we can expect enforcement. I think we can expect encroachment. So I'll be voting for this resolution tonight. I think we need to push back on the federal interference of our operations here. Every chance we get when they reach out and attempt to interfere with our NRD system.
Dr. Bradley, additional comment?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to say that some of the things that Director Bonnet brought up, I mean, if I was a representative in Congress or the U.S. Senate, I'd be debating those things rightly, but we're not. We're the local NRD, which and this shouldn't even be in this realm. And I understand that Nebraska, out of many states that have started to peel this layer of onion, Nebraska is falling for a lot of the rhetoric and red herring and going out there and putting forward, you know, this opposition in all these counties and NRD boards, and it shouldn't be. I do want to make a motion to table this resolution until maybe further down the road when we have, you know, more information on it.
Okay, there's been a motion to table. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
The table with a second. Connolly, roll call.
McCormick. No.
Sapinski.
No.
Teaser.
No.
Bagley?
Yes.
Bonnet? No.
Bradley?
Yes. Connolly?
Aye.
Davidson?
No.
Fowler?
No.
Jack?
No.
Mr. Chair?
It's 3-0.
Okay, can I vote no? Oh, I'm sorry. What did this do? Okay, motion's failed. Did you have your hand up, Tim? Tim Fowler?
My two cents. I took phone calls and emails, like a lot of other people did, from both sides. But I got back and started talking to some of my family there in farming, and just like Director Chapp, they were vehemently against it. There's no better steward of the land than the producers, your ranchers, and your landowners. The federal government does a deplorable job. I remember years ago, the agricultural secretary said, looking at flying over one of the states, and you could see where the horses were just being obliterated because they weren't being taken care of because they were on federal land. He looked at the ranchers' land. They had watering. They were well taken care of. They just don't know how to do it. In the same token, how the forest fires have started in some of the states, it's because they just didn't take care of the land and take away the brush. It's no different. This is a preliminary deal. I get it. But I agree with Director Bonnet. I think this is a put your toe in the water and go, oh, well, what's going to happen? Is there blowback? So just based on that, I'm in favor of this. That's my two cents.
All right. Any final comments before I get to say something? Director Phil.
I must be missing something. So to me, if the government plan comes out and it doesn't include a mandatory conservation effort, then this resolution really doesn't mean anything. But if they do come out with a resolution or that says, hey, we're going to implement a mandatory conservation effort, then this resolution says we're opposed to that. Is that correct? Is that what I'm hearing?
So if the
government comes out and they say, you know, this is all a voluntary program, then this resolution really means nothing. We're just putting it out there in case it becomes a mandatory, and the NRD is against a mandatory conservation effort. Am I reading that correctly? Okay.
Chairman, if I may.
Phil, were you done?
Well, no, I was done. So we'd be voting on whether or not we agree with this resolution the way I described it. Okay.
So this resolution simply opposes Executive Order 14008, otherwise known as the 30 by 30 plan, as written and issued by the Biden administration. Should any additional regulations come out, it will be in the form of a bill debated in Congress, approved by Congress, approved by the Senate, passed through the conference committee, and then signed into law. So that'll be something totally different, and we can oppose or argue that at the time. But right now, this is just an opposition resolution to a very vague executive order, and that's it.
All right, let me conclude. For those interested, like Sierra Club, for example, and the other folks that I got called from, in our budget, we, item 507, the CAP Conservation Assistance Program, we budget $600,000 to help conserve our land. I want to point out to folks our mission, which is on this board, been there for decades, where we, by our charter, if you will, wisely conserve, manage, enhance our resources. We will continue to do that as part of our existence as an entity. We put our money where our mouth is, in that conservation. I want to point out that because of that, we are, by default, if you will, behind conservation, 100%. It's in our blood. It's in our mission. The key to this is, and Director Teaser pointed out, that we're against federal mandates, and that's what this says. We're making a statement. Is it going to have any teeth to it? I don't know, but we're saying whatever the vote comes out, we're saying, please, federal government, don't mandate something like this. Nebraska sets the example for natural resources around the country. We're the envy of 49 other states, and we're proud of that. I'm proud to be part of that and vote accordingly to put our money where our mouth is. And we'll continue to do that and set the example. But please, however the wording may or may not be there, don't make it a federal mandate. And that's really all this is saying. It's a statement. Is it enforceable by any kind of law? No, not really. But it's saying that, hey, we're good. We're good at it. Just don't mandate it. Roll call.
Yes.
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 What are we on here?
The resolution.
Resolution, Danny.
The original. Okay, thank you. No.
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 Yes.
Yet.
Yeah, me now.
Yes.
Did you get everyone? What's the vote? What's the count?
And Jeff.
Yes.
What's the final
I'll
count?
Be better next month. The final is the 8th.
Thank you. You're done with your report.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Okay, Adam D. Ad Hoc Consultant Committee, Director Jab.
Be it resolved that the minutes of the August 10th, 2021 meeting of the Ad Hoc Consultant Selection Subcommittee, RFP, for Professional Services for Davis Creek, WFPO Project, are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Initial screening of proposals for consultant selection interviews. Recommendation that the subcommittee request interviews with HDR and JEO Consulting Group in the order presented on September 2nd, 2021 at 4 p.m., and I so move.
Hey, public comments. I don't see any public comments. Staff? Directors. Director Fred comment.
Our legal was going to come back with the issue of whether or not it was properly advertised, I guess.
Good afternoon, Directors. Brent Meyer with law firm Hutch Blackwell. After talking to staff and management, the advertisement for the RFP was compliant with statute and NRD policy. So we're, from a legal perspective, we're good with moving forward per the subcommittee's recommendation.
Any other direct comments? Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Begley? Yes. Bonnet? Yes. Bradley? Yes. Conley? Aye. Davidson? Yes. Fowler? Yes. Jack? Yes. McCormick?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes.
Item, thank you for your report. Item 11, Treasury Report, Director Kim Fowler.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to take items A through J, Treasurer's Report, all inclusive, and that the finance reports be affixed to and made part of the minutes. I so move.
Second by Bradley. Any public comments on Treasurer's Report? Staff, directors, roll call.
Yes.
Begley? Aye. Bonnet? Aye. Bradley? Yes. Conley? Aye. Davidson? Yes. Fowler? Yes. Jack? Yes. McCormick? Yes. McCormick? Yes. Chairperson? Yes. Item 12 to take from the table. Consideration Treasurer's written designation of Assistant Treasurer Carried over from last month's meeting, Director Tim Fowler.
Item 12, take from the table consideration of the Treasurer's written designation of the Assistant Treasurer carried over from the Board of Directors meeting held July 8th, 2021, and be it resolved that the Treasurer's written designation of Larry Bradley as Assistant Treasurer is concurred by the Board of Directors. I so move.
Do we have two separate actions take from the table? And then
technically, yes.
Okay.
Do an action, take it off the table, and then affirmative
vote
to approve
the right.
Okay.
Is there a second required on that? I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think so, but let's do one just
second. Okay, this is moved to take it off the table and present it for discussion for the Assistant Treasurer's roll call.
Beckley?
Aye.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Lipinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Chairperson?
Yes. All right. And okay. Resolution, Director Fowler?
Now, in a separate, be it resolved that the Treasurer's written designation of Larry Bradley as Assistant Treasurer is concurred by the Board of Directors. I so move.
Second.
Any public comments? Staff, directors? Roll call.
Bonnet?
Aye.
Bradley?
Yes.
Conley?
Aye.
Davidson?
Yes.
Fowler?
Yes.
Jack?
Yes.
McCormick?
Yes.
Lipinski?
Yes.
Teaser?
Yes.
Begley?
Aye.
Chairperson?
Yes. Thank you. Item 13, legal update. Brett? Nothing to report. Chairperson report. I have nothing to report either. So we'll move on to general manager's report.
Super bonus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Information, education highlights, the famed National Geographic photographer Joel Satori and our famed Austin Hill kicked off the opening ceremonies for the Envirothon, Nebraska. It was a virtual live broadcast, obviously with the COVID pandemic, for students in the U.S., Canada, and China. Students competed for scholarships and awards with testing in core subjects, wildlife, forestry, aquatics, soil land use, and current Nebraska environmental issues. Personnel miscellaneous items, Bruce Sill resigned from his position as the water supply operator from Blair effective August 3rd, and we are in the process of filling that position. A big thank you to Mike McNaney and his team for creating an updated map of Chaco Hills for park users. If you look, it's included in your packet. The map also includes a QR code so users can scan with their phone and then they get an interactive map of the park and the lake. It outlines all the park amenities as well as lake depths for fishing, so it'll help anglers with various fish species. We did receive a thank you note from the Bellevue City Councilman Don Priester. He thanked us for our cost share grant for the new B-cycle station located at the Twin Creek Trailhead. Phil and I attended that event. Obviously, Phil represented the city, but also the NRD, and so that was a very nice event to attend. The Omaha Home for Boys sent a thank you note to John Zog for the district's 2500 Celebrate Trees grant. The Home for Boys is celebrating a 100-year anniversary, and they wanted to thank the NRD for our generosity and commitment to community betterment. The Rip Roar events extended its thanks to Tom and Chuck for their hard work in making the Rip Roar Youth Triathlon. They brought 150-plus triathletes to Choco Hills, and we wanted to thank Tom, Chuck, and the rest of the park staff for making that a successful event for them. Report on purchases, construction services, professional services, personal properties attached for July, as well as the current and ongoing project with the District Legal Counsel. The partnership meeting for July 22nd was canceled. The next meeting is August 26th. In reference to the issue we had with the RFPs getting sent out from the website, we did fix that today, so that system is back up and operational. We're going to do some things to tweak that, and maybe we will test that periodically to make sure that consultants are receiving the emails. Obviously, with spam filters and people's internet protection, that things are probably, we want to make sure we continue to get them. So Marla and I talked about today, maybe we even do more mail letters, more outreach, personally calling them, hey, did you get this? Understand there's a project. So we'll continue to make sure that system's working appropriately. So I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
John, do we have any word back from the Sarpy County Sheriff's Department on the use of our boat that we deployed last month?
No, but when
cooperation with their department.
When I'm on the river, on the Platte River on the weekend, it's getting a lot of use. So I see them quite a bit, to the chagrin of many of the airboaters that I know. I'm surprised I haven't found something dead on my porch yet, but they seem to not like the enforcement. But I think the sheriff's doing a good job. It's getting out there. It's getting used a lot. So we haven't heard of any really problems on the river this year. So either everybody's behaving themselves, or that additional enforcement, additional of them being out there visuals helped. So, but yeah, they're using it a lot.
I just wanted to thank my fellow directors on the board for supporting that expenditure. I think it was money well spent. Thank you to the Sarpy County Sheriff's Department for negotiating such a good deal on that fan boat. A body of a young 7-year-old boy was found on the Missouri River last week. Mm-hmm. And rescue teams on the water help locate and retrieve that body. Also, the brother of a good family friend of ours, Beth Spears, also drowned on the Missouri, and his body was located and pulled in. So these boats are definitely needed. I know we got a little bit of criticism for that expenditure, but I think they're definitely valuable, and they're doing a good job protecting our bodies of water.
Any questions?
Good. All right. Thank you, Jeff. I have 16 informational items. Labor Day is coming up right before our subcommittee meetings and board meetings, also September 27th, 28th. Gene, is there a deadline to get?
We haven't received the invitation yet from the NARD, but I do have a block of rooms reserved at the La Quinta. So as soon as I get that information, I will forward it to all the rest.
Thank you. Item 17, we are Pepsi adjourned.